Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Sunday morning service, and a big welcome to John and Maureen Buchanan from Hopeman, and they are very much part of us, and Robbie's been on holiday, of course. He is going to be back next week preaching, but we want to give everybody a warm welcome, and friends from Lincolnshire via South Africa who are house-sitting at the moment, so it's lovely to see you both. There is a cup of tea following the service, so don't go that way on your way out. Go that way to get a cup of tea and have some fellowship after the service. Just a few announcements before I hand over to John. There was a ticket come in several weeks ago, which I've put some of these tickets in the on the table just in the vestibule, and one was a storytelling event that's actually passed, but it's Fraserburgh 2021 Heritage Regeneration and Footsteps Through Fraserburgh. Some of you, like Margaret Taylor, pointed out a QR code just outside the West Parish Church on the pavement that was like probably cemented in by the tourist board or something. Can you hear me okay? Have you seen the discs on? Oh, there are only two, that's right, yes. So I thought it would be a good idea just to mention this. I mean, Fraserburgh needs to get regenerated, right? And I'm not speaking about physically, I'm speaking about spiritually. You must be born again. But this would be a good walk for... I know that there are people who walk here, and if you're going round the town, you've got a smartphone, you can go through these little... significant places in the town, and you can scan your QR code, and it gives you a little audio about the location that you're in. But it's a good points for prayer as you're going out for a walk and you're learning a little bit more about Fraserburgh, to pray as you're walking. So there's some leaflets there about that, just in the vestibule. The Keswick and Bucky Convention is on at the moment, and again, it's on all week. It started on Friday night and it goes through this week. I think John Buchanan's actually the Master of Ceremonies on Tuesday night, is that right, John? So there's leaflets in the lobby there, Hope and Hard Times, various speakers including Abhi Nigunga, who's preached here several times. If all the leaflets go, just Google Keswick and Bucky 2022 and you'll get to the appropriate details. Now, this is the fifth Sunday in the month, and the fifth Sunday in the month in Peterhead Baptist Church is an open mic evening service at 6 p.m. So I believe Robbie is actually going through to that service tonight, but we are invited to go through there if you're free. So that's Peterhead Baptist Church tonight at 6 p.m. Do pray for John. He's preaching tonight as well, and Richard Boisman is preaching tonight as well. So and there's various folks on holiday, but may the Lord bless you. If you're going on holiday in the next week or two, may the Lord bless you as well. But we're thankful for John and Maureen coming. I'll just hand over to you now, John. Thank you.
Thank you once again, Norman, for your welcome, and it's good to see you. I trust you're all well this morning. You're looking good anyway from this distance, and it's good to be together with each other in the house of the Lord this morning. We've come for a specific purpose. And the psalmist says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Join with me as we do that in song and praise, as we sing our opening hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty."
Oh,
Let me read God's word to you this morning, which will form the basis of our thoughts this as we come before the Lord. It's found in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah and in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's unite together in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly in your holy presence this morning to bring our worship and the adoration of our hearts to you, as we would recall just how great, how high and holy you are. We remember that you are the Lord who sits enthroned above the heavens. You are the creator, the sustainer of our world. You are the one who has given to us life and every good thing. Daily you provide for our every need. For you are such a faithful God that each day, each morning, you provide us freshly with your grace, your love, and your mercy. And as your children this morning, we want to lift high your name and to ascribe and give glory and honor and praise to you, for you alone are worthy. Father, we realize that we can only come before you this morning because of what you did for us through your Son, Jesus, the one you sent from heaven to be our Savior, to make that atoning sacrifice for our sin. For we acknowledge, O God, our Father, how weak and frail we are, how prone we are to sin and to wander, how unworthy we are of the grace and love that you have shown toward us. And so we ask, Lord God, our Father, that you would come to us afresh this morning and help us by your Holy Spirit to praise you and to worship you as we read your word, as we think about what it might mean to us, what you are saying to us today, and as we sing your praise and join together in song, Lord, speak to our hearts afresh, we ask. And in us, renew us and revive us as your children, that we might leave from this place not as we've come this morning, but totally changed, invigorated, renewed, because we have met with you. So, Father, take from our hearts and minds this morning those distractions that would so easily lift our focus from you, and help us to look above and to think on these things that are above, where Christ is seated at your right hand. Father, we are so thankful for your daily provision for us. And this morning we remember those who are unable to be with us for various reasons. You know them, Lord God, and you know their needs at this particular time. For some, Father, it is that they are laid aside through illness and weakness. And we would ask that you would be to them what they need and draw near to them and assure them of your nearness to them. Some are on holiday and need that time for refreshing and renewing, and we ask you to bless them and to keep them safe at this time. And others, Father, are perhaps in your service in a different way, serving you in a different area, in a different place. Lord, minister to them, and through them we pray. As you would speak to us, we ask that you would use and bless each and every one of these ones. Father, we think of the world in which we live, a needy, desperate world, where there is war and strife, where there is famine and hunger and drought. And we just pray, O God, that you would be pleased to move in such a way as to bring peace and to bring relief where it is needed. But above all, our Father, we pray that in and through it all, your name will be honored and glorified, that your church, your people, would by your grace become your instruments of blessing to those in need. So, Lord, we ask you just to draw near to us afresh this morning. And as we wait in your presence, bless us, we pray, not for our asking, but for the glory and the honor of your name. For we ask that as we give thanks for all your goodness to us, for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the great salvation into which he has brought us, for the eternal hope and comfort that is ours, we ask and give thanks in his precious name. Amen. Well, children, it's good to be together in the house of the Lord, and we're going to have the kids' song now. And we invite you all to shake off the grey hairs, the stiff bones, the arthritis, whatever it might be, and become a youth again. Like it says at Isaiah 40 at the end, be renewed like a youngster with wings like an eagle. And let's sing our song this morning, our kids' song, as we worship God in this way. Thank you.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
That's right. That's...
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And his word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
were sinners and so unworthy, still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good all the time.
Thank you for that. That's a new one on me, and it was brilliant. Thank you. I don't think there's a need for a sermon after that. Everything was there. I didn't see too much dancing, mind you. Don't know what happened there. Okay. Now, we're going to go to something really old-fashioned, and we'll see how we get on. Yeah?
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around. Tell it out thy full salvation and thy loving message sound. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know.
that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Amen. We chose that one because it was low enough to sing in the morning. thank you, Anne, because I only asked you just as you came into church this morning. I appreciate that very much indeed. I'm going to give you the opportunity to sing together as we continue our worship this morning. And the hymn that we're going to sing is Light of the World. Thank you, boys.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Things oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin became poor.
Redmond wrote some very challenging lyrics in one of his songs that's in our mission praise these days. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. The essence of true worship is all about Jesus. It's all about our gracious, loving, and merciful Father. And as we thought on last week, praise and worship are the response of a heart that is grateful to God, a heart that is firmly focused on God, a heart lost in wonder, love, and praise. And yet, so often, our focus isn't on God, but on evaluating the service. I've been in services where the music has been totally off key, and the sermon has been a mess, and the seats are most uncomfortable. I hasten to add, not Fraserburgh Baptist Church. And yet in those moments, I've connected with God, and there has been a deep sense of his presence. On the other hand, I've been in services where everything was just spot on, and yet I've left just as unmoved as when I first entered the door. The passage of scripture I read earlier tells us of the call of the prophet Isaiah, called to be a spokesman for God to the nation. And in that call, he had a vision of God on his throne, and a very powerful and a very personal experience of worship that impacted his life. That momentous event in his life took place, as we read, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, as a king, Uzziah was one who had a long and prosperous reign. He was a very popular king who ruled for something like 52 years. By and large, Uzziah was a good leader and who, for the best part of his life, honored God. Your homework for today would be to read through 2 Chronicles 26, where it tells us that at first Uzziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He also, we're told in verse 5 of the chapter, that he sought guidance from the Lord. And as the nation grew strong and prospered during his reign, he was one who honored God in the first events of his reign. As a result, the nation felt secure and comfortable and prospered, and they trusted Uzziah. They thought, as he himself did, that he could do no wrong. And consequently, they placed their trust, their confidence in their king, and took their focus from the Lord. But sadly, we read that when Uzziah became powerful,
he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. King, nation, together lost sight of their God. I sometimes wonder, as I'm sure you do, whether those words are not true of us, our nation, our leaders today. King Uzziah's death left the nation shaken and in a point of crisis. It was a difficult time of international upheaval, but the greatest danger was not from outside, but rather it was from within. A nation that had been led into political and spiritual decay. The Bible commentator Warren Wiersbe gives this advice: when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. And in the midst of these difficult events, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. A great king may have left his earthly throne, but the greatest king is still on the throne. Do you remember singing that chorus as a youngster? God is still upon the throne, and he will remember his own, his promises. Oh, gosh. Oh, that we would remember that. Oh, that we would have a fresh vision, a fresh anointing from the Lord as his people today. Our God is still reigning. It's important for us to realize that. How often during the pandemic I heard that it may have called out the countries, but it never called out God. He knew. God knew all about the pandemic. He's still ruling the affairs of this world. And praise God, the affairs of our lives too. Where would I be without his guidance, without his leading? I have a shepherd, one I love so well. Doesn't that tell us all? Where he may lead, I will follow. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Wasn't that what the kids' song was all about? He's so good. God is still in control, and he rules over all things. The hymn writer captured it: oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. That's our God. That's my God. That's your God today. Whether Isaiah was in the temple or just had a vision of God enthroned and of that divine glory spreading and overflowing to fill the temple, the commentators are quite uncertain. Either way, I love to think that God was seen and God was to be found in the place where people traditionally came to worship. I know that we can worship the Lord anywhere. We can do it in the home, around the family altar. We can do it on the sea. We can do it in our cars. Many of us, I'm sure, do it on our walks. But there's really something special, isn't there, about meeting together with God's people in that place that's set aside for worship. That's something folks have told me often was so badly missed during the pandemic and the lockdowns that followed. And in coming here this morning, you and I have placed ourselves in the very best place and position to meet with God. not to meet with each other, not to catch up with the fellowship news, but to meet with God and to worship at his feet. The psalmist records those lovely words, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Psalm 122. But better still, dear friends, the Lord is pleased when the desire of our hearts is to worship him. There is no greater privilege. That's why we're told not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When I see you in the house of the Lord, I'm encouraged. When we talk together in the house of the Lord and sing together and join our hearts and our voices together, I'm encouraged. That's what it's all about. Meeting together as the family of God. As Isaiah viewed the heavenly vision, it's clear that the prophet was totally fixed and focused on God, on God's majesty. He says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne," not a chair. He wasn't a comfortable God as such, a buddy-buddy. But he saw him on a throne, signifying his authority, his sovereignty, his awesome majesty and holiness. The train of his robe filled the temple. His honor and dignity filling the temple from heaven above to earth below. That's majesty, is it not? God's glory, revealing all that he is in unsurpassed and stunning perfection and beauty. His amazing love, his wide mercy, his deep grace. Walter Charles Smith wrote these words in a hymn, "Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. O Lord, we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee." And we see something, just a glimpse of that, as Isaiah speaks of the seraphim above the throne. We don't know exactly what these beings were. Matthew Henry described them as holy angels called seraphim, which means burners. They burn in love and zeal for his glory, said Matthew Henry. We read that they had six wings. With two of them covered their eyes. Perhaps that was from the brightness of God's glory that they saw. Just as Moses hid his face and was hidden. Or perhaps because they considered themselves so unworthy to look upon the holy God. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's made you and I worthy. Worthy of his grace and his love. Worthy to be called sons of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Praise his name. Praise his name. With two, they covered their feet. In ancient times, it was something of a sign of humility and reverence, indeed, to do so. I often think it's like my feet connect me to the earth, to this world. And I get pretty dirty sometimes going through this world. And with the final two, they flew to show their readiness and their willingness to serve the Lord. And all the while they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." You know, there is no other quality of God that is repeated three times like that in Scripture. I'm told that in Hebrew, intensity is something that is communicated by repetition. And therefore, three times would take this to the highest degree. In the context, then, God's holiness means that He is so perfect, so pure, and so righteous that He's completely set apart from everyone and everything. There is no one, there is none like Him. And such was the sound of their praise that we're told the doorposts and the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Now that's powerful singing and praise, is it not? I remember that the first time I went to South Wales with the Male Voice Choir, you were there, Norman. And at the prayer time, I was standing in the middle of the bass section, the deep basses. And as they sang, literally, my chest was vibrating as they sunk deep, deep, deep for a low note as they lifted their voice in praise. And I was impressed with bass singers, I can tell you. But let me ask you this morning, as I would ask myself too, are we impressed with God this morning? Are you overawed by His Word, His wonderful works to the sons of men, with the wonders of His love, grace, and mercy? And haven't we, you and I, as His blood-bought, redeemed children, more reason to, as it were, bring the house down with our praise and worship than all the angels and seraphim and cherubim that surround the throne? We have a song that they can never sing. Perhaps today, then, we each need a fresh vision to see the Lord high and lifted up, and to sit in His presence thinking and praying and meditating upon our marvelous God, to be more impressed with the Creator than the creation, to use the words of a hymn, to be with open eyes to see glimpses of the truth that He has for me, to have open minds that we may read more of His love in His word and in deed. Someone wrote, "Our vision of God begins our walk with Him. And in that vision of God, I see myself." That's why Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, I am ruined." Ruined because he recognized and acknowledged his own sinfulness before that thrice holy God. Isaiah's saying, God's holiness is such that in the light of his own sin, he must surely die. When we focus on God, we gain surely a deep sense of our own sinfulness and how offensive sin is to God. Do you remember that incident in the Gospels where Peter, the apostle, he caught a glimpse of Christ's power and glory on the Galilean seashore, and kneeling at Jesus' feet, he cried out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." In the light of his holiness, being near to God, being in his presence, should make us not just, but a little uncomfortable. Speaking personally, it's very painful sometimes to see myself as I really am, to see the inside, not the outside. Wasn't that the lesson that Samuel learned? Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And when I'm subjected to the X-ray vision of God in my heart, upon my thoughts, upon my actions, I can't help but cry out, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, in those moments of realization and confession, something totally wonderful and totally initiated by God took place in Isaiah's life. One of the seraphs flew, and with a live coal in his hand, which had been taken from the altar, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. The picture is very clear, is it not, brothers and sisters, this morning? The burning coal was taken from the altar, the place where sacrifice was made for sin. And all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, they looked forward to that one supreme sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Isaiah was forgiven on that same basis as you and I are forgiven, the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he isn't just a holy God, but a loving God. He touches us and he forgives us through his Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And John reminds us later that if we confess our sin, those failings and faults that occur in our lives, perhaps almost daily, if we confess our sins, he's still that same faithful and just and righteous God, willing, ready to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us, not just from some, but from all our sin. Nothing can match an experience of God's grace like that. It marks our life forever, and it happens as we recognize and trust Christ as our sin bearer. It happens every time each and every one of us return to his altar. When we come in to be in his presence, when we pause to sit reverently at his table, every time we would come before him in our prayer times, surely then we would be reminded and are reminded it is only by grace, God's amazing grace, that we stand. Towards the end of his ministry, Jesus did an amazing thing for his disciples. He stooped down and washed their feet. Peter, you may recall, objected, but Jesus said to him, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. And Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Not a day goes by, but I don't sin in some way or another. And not a day goes by that I don't need him to wash me afresh. I was always taken by the many prayers of old that ended, and forgive us our many sins. You don't hear that much these days. Perhaps the reason we hear so little confession in our prayers is because we've simply brought God down to be someone who only meets our needs. When we experience the grace of God in our lives, as Isaiah did, our lives are never the same. That was the time of Isaiah's call to ministry. He saw God's glory, he heard God's message, and he was commissioned to share that message and to bring the nation back to God. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I. It was a pivotal moment in the life of the prophet. And for you and me today, as always,
The Christian life is more than just singing a few songs and listening to a sermon. It's a lifestyle. It's having that attitude that says, here I am, Lord, send me. I'll do it. I'll go to that one across the street. I'll help that one lying in the gutter. I'll do whatever it is, Lord, that you ask me to do. We must never underestimate what God can do with a willing worker. And he wants to work through our lives, the lives of all his children, to reach a lost and broken world. Like Isaiah, we need perhaps to realize afresh that we're living in a world of unclean lips, a needy world with problems of alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual immorality and confusion, broken homes and lives, and to humbly bow and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. You see, it's not that there is no harvest to go to, but there aren't many laborers. And God wants those with a willing heart, an available heart. And Paul urged us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for it's a reasonable act of worship because of God's mercy toward us. So let us this morning use the words of the hymn writer to be our prayer today. Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take myself, and I will ever be only all for thee. His love gave us all things. His love surely demands that we give ourselves back to him in full and glad surrender and in service. And how can we help but love him when he loved us so? Will you join with me in singing prayerfully those words as our closing hymn this morning? How can I help but love him?
Thank you.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.